The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Zion Primitive Baptist Church in Zion, Alabama. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.
I want to welcome you today to the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. This podcast is an outreach of Zion Primitive Baptist Church, which is located in the Zion community near Gordo, Alabama. I'm Elder Chris McCool, and I serve as pastor of Zion Primitive Baptist Church. We are a congregation of believers in the sovereign grace of God, where families worship together through the simple practice of preaching, praying, and singing. If you live in this area or are visiting here, we would love to have you attend worship services with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 5 p.m. and the first and third Wednesday evenings at 6:30 p.m. I'm happy to note that our daily podcast is featured on Grace Alone Radio, which you can find at gracealoneradio.net. You can find the schedule on the website, and you can also download an app to your phone so that you can listen wherever you are. Grace Alone Radio is a 24-hour streaming service which carries the message of God's sovereign grace around the clock and around the world. Zion Primitive Baptist Church is located at 9487 County Road 49, Gordo, Alabama. That's near the intersection of County Road 49 and Alabama Highway 159, about 8 miles north of Gordo, Alabama, and about 10 miles northeast of Reform, Alabama. If you're interested in finding more sermons, you can go to our website at zionpbc.com. That's zionpbc.com, where you'll find all of our posted sermons, as well as a link to subscribe to our podcast. You can also subscribe to our website, which will update you every time a new sermon is posted. As we continue in this section of Revelation, which I'm calling the interlude between the blowing of the sixth and seventh trumpets, we come to chapter 11, where we read about a reed like unto a rod that was given to John. This reed is simply a measuring rod, which God tells John to use in measuring the temple, the altar, and the participants in the worship. This measuring rod is symbolic of the need for us to measure the church and ourselves by the Word of God, and to see if what we preach and teach and how we live and worship measures up. Join us as we look at this measuring rod of the Word of God today. But first, we have a song selection that we hope you enjoy.
When I survey
best way to understand Revelation is there's various scenes which have a beginning and an ending, and most of those scenes are about judgment. Some of them are about God's judgment solely on the wicked, and some of them are about His judgment on the wicked followed by the deliverance of His children. And you may remember one of the points I made is much of the Bible focuses on God's blessings and obedience. The book of Revelation seems to focus more on their deliverance from wicked men in their obedience. So that brings us to chapter 11 tonight. Now, there are 22 chapters in the book of Revelation, so whenever we finish this chapter, which will not be tonight, we'll be halfway through the book of Revelation. Now, so far, this has been the most difficult chapter for me to interpret. And as I've said many times, I don't claim that all of my interpretations and applications are correct, but I will assure you that my interpretations will not contradict fundamental doctrine or the basic beliefs of Primitive Baptists. And if Brother Chris or Brother John Morgan or any other elder interprets it differently than I do, and their interpretation doesn't contradict the fundamentals of the faith, I will not be offended at all. May learn that my interpretation was not exactly right. So now let's read in chapter 11. And we don't expect to cover many of the verses here, because we want to try to clearly teach it. Chapter 11, verse 1, "And there was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood." Now, this is the same angel that had that little book in his hand who told John to take it and eat it up. It's the same angel. "There was given me a reed like unto a rod, and the angel stood, saying, Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that dwell therein. But the court which is without the temple leave out and measure it not, for it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months, that is 3.5 years. Now, the first thing I want to really try to emphasize is when he speaks of this reed like unto a rod, that's speaking of a measuring stick. Now, when you measure something, you don't call into question the measurement on the stick. In other words, you're measuring another object of which you are uncertain what the measurement is. You can rely on the measuring rod. It's correct. Amen. And you want to measure something for which you don't know what the measurement is. So this is clearly another symbolic reference to the Word of God. And there are other places in the Bible that we'll not turn to tonight that will further reinforce that. But that's so important to remember tonight. If that's all you remember, that's an important lesson, that this reed, like unto a rod, is the measuring stick that is accurate and reliable, and that's likened unto the Word of God. When you face a conflict in life and someone calls into question your judgment, and you go to the Word of God and you are reassured that your judgment is in harmony with the Word of God, what you've just done is use the measuring stick to see if you've got the correct measure in terms of your understanding and beliefs. So that's what he's talking about. The Word of God is likened unto a measuring stick. Now, notice what he is instructed to measure by the Word of God. And we'll see how up to date and important this is. He says, "Rise and measure the temple of God and the altar and them that worship therein. Notice by the word of God, John is instructed to measure three things: the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. Now again, I certainly allow for other interpretations in the way I look at this. But I believe he's speaking here, and I'll try to explain this, that the word of God is used to measure the church. Amen. Maybe that's the practice of the church. Right. The word of God is used to measure the altar. Now, we don't have an altar today like they did in the Old Testament, but the altar was used to make offerings to God. Right. And you know that those all pointed to the perfect offering, Jesus Christ. So I believe to measure the altar is to measure what is being preached about Christ. Does our doctrine about the offering of Christ measure up to the word of God? And finally, he says that this rod is to measure them that worship therein. That's when it gets very personal. Do you measure up? Do you measure up to the word of God? Now, how can you know that within the temple? It's only as the man in the pulpit preaches what the word of God says about living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Amen. So in the same way that John was called upon to take measurements, would it not be appropriate for you and I to take measurements? Yes. Is it not important that we measure the church by the word of God? Amen. We often say we believe in singing, praying, and preaching. And as you take the word of God to measure the practice of the church, you'll see that's the biblical practice of the church. You remember, as we've quoted many times in Acts chapter 2, about verse 40 or 42, it says those newly baptized believers continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and prayers. Now notice that. We believe in singing, praying, and preaching. There in Revelation 2, he refers to doctrine, which is what is preached. They continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. Real deep fellowship is no deeper than our unity in Bible doctrine. So they continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread, whether that's talking about the communion or having meals together, it implies more fellowship. Doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So when you measure the temple, and by the way, he's not speaking here about the temple at Jerusalem, because the book of Revelation, most believe it was written about 25 years after the temple had been destroyed in 70 AD. And I don't believe the temple here is referring to heaven, because we don't need to measure heaven and see if it lines up with the word of God. But the temple here, I believe, is representative of the church. We need to measure the church by the word of God. We need to measure the altar. That is, when we consider the offering that is being made, being a picture of what Jesus accomplished on the cross, he was an offering for our sins, we need to measure that according to the word of God. You remember in the book of Acts, chapter 17, about verse 11, it says that those Bereans were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the word of God daily. Those noble Bereans received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily. Notice that, searched the scriptures daily. Sometimes I just read them weekly. How about you? Anybody here want to confess? Do we search the scriptures daily whether these things are so? And then we're to measure, and here's where it hurts. Measure them that worship therein. Now the preacher has a special task with regard to that, because he is the overseer of the flock, And he is to pray that the Lord will guide his mind on what to preach, and pray that the Spirit who knows what your problems are, the Spirit who knows the areas of your life that are off track, the Spirit impresses the preacher to preach on those things so that you can make a judgment. But all of that is in vain if you don't measure yourself. In 2 Corinthians chapter 13, it says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You know, sometimes we don't like going to the doctor because he examines us and tells us the truth that we don't want to hear. And it's even harder to take the Bible and examine yourself. You know, it's hard when I read Ephesians 5 and it says, buddy, love Tina as Christ loved the church. That doesn't feel good. I don't measure up to that. But see, the purpose of taking these measurements is that we might work toward getting a little closer to what we ought to be. See, Satan will tell you if you can't get perfect, there's no need to try. No, Paul says, let us go on unto perfection. And that doesn't mean sinlessness. That means maturity. Let us go on unto perfection. I'm far from perfect, but I can honestly say, I think I love her and treat her a little nicer than I did 20 or 25 years ago. I've moved a little bit in the right direction. And I can only do that as I measure my behavior by the Word of God. Amen. When you read what the measuring stick says about how to treat other people, whether they're your wife or your husband or other people in the church, you know, isn't it interesting that the Bible never justifies talking mean to other people? Amen. You know, matter of fact, we're commanded to be courteous and to be kind. You know, those aren't rules on the job. That's the Word of God. We're to be kind one to another. We're to be courteous. It's so easy to get in the wrong spirit because you think you're right on the issue. See, that's not how we're to be in the church. That may go over or be accepted in the workplace. That is, you can be right and be mean in letting people know that you're right. But that's not the way it is in the church. And that's why the church ought to be a refuge from this world. Think about your jobs in this world and what you face during the week. But hopefully, the church is a place where you have a preacher and fellow believers that reverence the measuring rod. They know it's marked correctly. You know, when I go and buy a tape measure, I know that it's possible that it could be the wrong scale. The machine could have malfunctioned that was marking it, but I'm not constantly questioning the accuracy of the tape measure. You know, if I found out somehow it wasn't correct, I'd immediately stop using it and get one that's accurate. You know, there's so many applications to this. You take any other English Bible translation, and I'll show you where that measuring stick is wrong. And you need to throw it away and get the correct, accurate measuring stick. So, although there's so much in Revelation that may seem irrelevant to our life in a specific way, obviously this is, isn't it? But now watch this in verse 2. The angel has told John to measure the temple of God, the altar, and them that worship therein. But the court which is without the temple, leave out and measure it not. For it is given unto the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. Now, first of all, you understand, for example, in Romans 2:28, that he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly. That means in the New Testament, Jews are people that are born again. Jews are believers in the New Testament. It's used in a spiritual way. It doesn't mean the descendants of Abraham most of the time in the New Testament. You have to consider the context carefully. But Gentiles, although you and I are one, in this context, in a spiritual sense, is referring to those that are not believers, those that do not fear the Lord. And notice what he says about those outside of the church with regard to this measuring rod, which is the Word of God. The court, which is without, that means outside of the temple, leave out and measure not. In other words, as far as measuring it, leave that off. Now, what does that mean in terms of application in the church? Well, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, 1 Corinthians 5, as far as I can tell, and I'm always glad if you can prove me wrong, because that lets me know you had to go home and search it out. So I'm always glad if you can prove me wrong on things like this. As far as I know, 1 Corinthians 5 is the most detailed discussion of church discipline. Now, there's a particular issue addressed here, and that it's a moral issue. It's a man who is committing fornication with his father's wife, and the reason it says his father's wife is because it was not his natural mother with whom he would be committing incest. This was his stepmother. And this was a great moral sin, that this man was committing fornication with his father's wife. Now notice what it says, having already described how this man is not repentant, but worst of all, the church is not repentant. Paul has talked about how they're puffed up about it. You know, and one of the things I think about when I think of a puffed up church is like in our country today. Oh, we're an open-minded church. I remember 34 years ago, reading some literature from a church now that if I mentioned them, you would know how far off they have went into the depths of depravity. 34 years ago, I read their literature, and here's what it said. We welcome a variety of beliefs to our congregation. They are reaping the bitter consequences today of welcoming a variety of beliefs to their congregation. That may have been the problem here, as Paul describes them as being puffed up. Look at verse 2. And you're puffed up and have not rather mourned. You're not mourning that one of your members is committing fornication with his stepmother. You've not mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. Notice how contrary the Bible is to what some religions advocate today. To discriminate someone who is living ungodly is according to the teachings of God's word. There is a measuring stick. You know what the measuring stick is? Hebrews 13:4 says, marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Now, outside of a man marrying a woman, both of whom are free to marry in the Lord, the bed in that relationship is the only relationship that honors God. You can put anything else under whoremongers and adulterers, and it's sin. Amen. Some of it may be worse than others, but it's sin. He says, you're puffed up about the matter of fornication, and you've not rather mourned that he which hath done this deed might be taken away from you. But now, notice verse 11. We'll skip down there for the sake of time. Notice Paul says, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. Notice this. Paul tells the church, do not keep company with a member of the church that is a fornicator or covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. With such a one, know not to eat. Now, regardless of how the church may address this issue, regardless of the order by which they address it, a person in this category, which is unrepentant, is not to be fellowshipped in the church. We're not to keep company with them. Now watch this. We're going to get back to how this pertains to Revelation when he says, don't measure that which is outside the temple. 1 Corinthians 5:12, Paul says, for what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, that is, within the fellowship of the church, but them that are without, without the temple, with outside of the fellowship of the church, God judgeth. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Oh, the Bible teaches discrimination big time, doesn't it? The Lord discriminates against ungodliness. Amen. Always has and always will. And I want you to watch this. When the church withdraws from someone, we're basically saying, Lord, we have worked with them and worked with them and worked with them, and they are not repentant, they are not responding, but we know if we're faithful to withdraw from them, this text says God judges them on the outside. But listen to this, consider this, you judge them on the inside. Watch this. If you've got an ungodly person in the church and we overlook it and ignore it, God stands back and says, I'm not going to deal with it until you do. Amen. The Lord's going to hold back on judging them until we're faithful. Right. You say, Brother Buddy, I thought we're not supposed to judge people. Wrong. Right. Here he says twice, do not ye, and this is an assumed yes to this question, do not ye judge them that are within. Now let's say Brother Chris or I left our wife for another woman. Hopefully you would judge us. And we would say, we cannot tolerate that behavior. And if you continue that path, not only can you not preach, you can't be in the fellowship of the church. Right. Now listen, if we tolerate one person, and I know a situation like this right now, where a person is living with someone they're not married to, this is a church member, they're living with someone they're not married to, it's overlooked. My question is, why can't I? Right. Why can't the pastor do it if a member can? You see how important this is? That the Bible says judge righteous judgment. Amen. Get it right. Amen. Work with people as long as you can, but eventually it'll be made known whether their conscience is bothering them about it. So when the angel tells John, don't measure outside the temple, he's basically saying, it's not that the Word of God doesn't apply to life out here in the world. It certainly does for a child of God, you know that. But what he's saying is, when the church is withdrawn from someone, the reason you've withdrawn from them is because they ignore the measuring rod. You see that? And when they're on the outside, them that are without, God judges. When the church withdraws from someone, we're saying, Lord, we can't get their attention, but we know you can. Amen. And it's our prayer you'll get them their attention, strike them down, convict them, and they'll come back to the church and we'll vote to receive them back in. Amen. That ought to be our prayer the day the church withdraws from them.
That's right.
But I've seen in my childhood among the old Baptists so many violations of the Word of God. But that doesn't mean go in the other ditch, does it? That doesn't mean ignore things because we've done it wrong. That's what he means here when he says, don't measure without the temple. Now, we've covered a whole two verses in Revelation. I guess it'll take me the rest of my life to finish it. But I believe that it's appropriate on a Wednesday night when a lot of people have worked all day, that if you can just get this one lesson, that as a member of the church, you need to measure yourself by the Word of God every day. And when you don't measure up, make the changes. And the Lord may open doors for you with people outside of the church that are His children. But there are plenty of people out there, they do not care about the measuring rod. And you're under no obligation, you're not under bondage to try to get people out there in the world that do not fear God to measure up. So let's make sure we measure the temple and the altar and them that worship therein.
Thank you for joining us today on the Zion Primitive Baptist Church podcast. I hope the message has been uplifting and beneficial to you, and that the Lord will continue to bless you to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. Join us again tomorrow for another message of God's sovereign grace. If you would like to subscribe to our website, please go to www.zionpbc.com and sign up for email updates. If you have any questions, please feel free to contact the church at zionpbc1847@gmail.com. That's zionpbc1847@gmail.com. Or you can email me directly at jchrismccool@gmail.com. That's the letter jchrismccool@gmail.com. Again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless you is my prayer.
We thank you for listening to today's message. For more information, please visit us online at zionpbc.com.